You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Monthly Roundtable Show. This is episode 967. It's June. I can't believe it. We've got the regular panel with us. They look excited. Well, Heather doesn't look that excited, but she looks a bit brighter there. But we've also got a friend of the show and our special panelist of the month. We've got Mr. WordPress James Bond with us. We've got Devin Walker with us, the SVP, the CIO of Stellar WP, and he's got his cat with him as well. So what more could you ask for? So, Devin, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the tribe?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me and my cat. She won't, she'll interrupt and meow if I don't pick her up. But Devin Walker, been on WP Tonic a few times. Love this show. Jonathan said, I'm senior vice president at Stellar WP, which we just launched a new product called Stellar Sites that we're pretty excited about. And I'm one of the co-founders of Give WP, which was acquired by Stellar/Liquid Web back in 2021. And I'm still here. We're good people, and I'm happy to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're always welcome. And I've got Heather. Heather, would you like to quickly introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi. I'm Heather Renzi. I am the CTO of The Difference, and I am also known as the Unicorn Whisperer.
That's fantastic. And I've got my ever-patient co-host for my regular WP Tonic show. Got Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Perfect. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own Manana Nomas, and we work on membership and learning sites as well as work directly with the folks at WP Tonic.
I've got Mark. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I am Mark Bentekane, and I am with MainWP, and I'm all over the place. So happy to be here.
Yes, join the rest of us. I've got the only Spencer Forum. So Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself?
It's Spence from WP Launch Fi, 82 degrees in Chicago. I'm sporting the summer fro, very happy to say. 82 degrees is the border between winter and summer here.
Lovely. Fun. Just lovely. Right. We've got a fantastic show. We've got some fantastic WordPress stories. Who is behind FAIR? And also, can AI help WordPress freelancers? I think we've got stories out of Zinc here, but we've got some great stories. But before we delve into them, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta. See site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back. Before we go into the main part of the show, I also want to point out that we've got some great resources for you, our beloved WordPress SaaS tribe. You can get a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services that will help you be more effective freelancer or small agency owner. You can get all these goodies by, and some special offers from the sponsors, you can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you find all the goodies there, my beloved tribe. What more could you ask for, I say? I don't know, but you find it all there. So let's go straight into it. Got this story from the repository. Who's behind FAIR inside the coalition seeking to redefine WordPress software distribution? A power grab, in other words. Lovely jubbly. So who should I start with first? I'm going to be kind to Devin, so I'm going to ask Spencer to comment on this first. Did you hear me? No, you, Spencer.
Oh, me first?
Yes.
Okay. Well, sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you wanted Devin first. So this is, to me, the canary in the coal mine, in a good way, for the difference between the aggravation that's been caused for, I'm just going to say it, no good reason by Mr. Mullenweg. He decided whatever he decided to do to stir up the pot, but the Achilles heel that I must have mentioned this 180 times already over the years is that it's open source. And if you stir the pot enough times, enough people with some influence and some capability are going to finally get their shit together and band together and say, this isn't what we signed up for. This isn't what we built over 18 years. And so in a good way, they're not thumbing their noses at Mullenweg. They're just going around him. And this is something that I specifically had suggested would have been a good idea years ago. Many people on the show suggested would have been a good idea. It finally came to fruition. And what it represents is that we don't need Mullenweg and Otto to be the gatekeepers of all the plugins and do the shenanigans that they're doing. Like, let's clone it and make it part of .com. Let's index it the way we want to. That makes no sense in 2025 that you type in the name of your plugin and it's the 37th thing on the list besides something else. Or that some bad actor like Syed can go ahead and game the repository. When you put his plugin in, it tells you not to put in all the other competing plugins. I mean, it's a game. So with open source, the game is fair. It's level. And I'm not sure that I endorse anything specifically about FAIR, but the concept and what it's doing, mwah, finally, long overdue.
So Mark, how would you, I don't know if you read the article in any depth and be following this, but how would you categorize what FAIR is outlining and initially seem to be trying to do?
I think it's a fantastic idea. I think, you know, one of the things that Spencer touched on it a little bit, of course, is the fact that, look, Matt has been daring us to do this for the last 15 years. Every single time he talked, he said, hey, this isn't mine. It's open source. Hey, if you don't like it, you can do something about it. He dares and dares and dares. And this is what's going to happen. So, I'm excited about it because I don't know that I know everybody here, but some of these people are people that I call my friends, and I mean it genuinely. And some of these people, and these are high integrity people. So when they say this is what we're doing, you can trust that this is what they're going to do. So I like everything else, I'm in a wait and see sort of point of view, like a lot of people are, and even like the article talks about a bit. But I actually have a lot of hope for this, and I think it's a tremendous first step towards decentralizing everything. So, I'm excited for it.
So, Heather, I don't think having disputes in open source. Projects is that particularly unusual there, and especially when you've got a commercial arm, commercial element, there's been in a couple JavaScript libraries and some other large open source projects, there's been forking and dispute with somebody that's trying to commercialize a particular section of the open source project. It's not that particularly unusual. What are your own thoughts about this, Heather?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely not unusual. And I don't think, I mean, and it is definitely early days with what they're doing. So, I mean, I absolutely don't see anything. This is definitely a wait and see here. So, yeah, but I mean, the one good thing that I'm seeing here is that rather than people arguing at the moment. Like, it's kind of giving the WordPress community a place to rally around.
Yeah. So, Devin, what do you reckon? Do you think some of the major hosting providers are going to support this initial proposals? You know, what's your own views about it? Are they going in the right direction?
I think we're specifically at LiquidWeb/Stellar taking a somewhat cautious approach to it, because on one hand, you want to stay in good standing in the eyes of Automattic, WordPress, Mullenweg. And on the other hand, you want to support your users, provide them options. And this seems to be the best option for, you know, unchaining yourself from the plugin repository. And it's a good thing to bring our users. I wasn't at WordCamp EU this year. It's the first time I missed it in quite some time. I don't know if anybody else was here.
Well, you were a bit busy, weren't you?
Yeah, that was
it. He got married, folks. He got married.
Right during that time. And I turned 40 during that time. So there's like two celebrations in 2 weeks. So, but the team that went for us came back and they were pretty excited about this. You know, there's a lot of reputable people on it. I know quite a few of them, like to call them my friends as well. And there's a lot of respect behind this project. So I think the biggest thing is going to be adoption and getting us specifically to go over that decision making step and to actually start implementing it. That's the big leap that needs to happen, not only with us, but with others. And then as adoption grows, so will this project. And it seems like, I just checked the GitHub repo, they're doing releases. It's getting more GitHub stars. So I like to see that momentum's continuing. And like in the article, they said, this isn't just like a 1 year pick it up and drop it. They're going to be here 5, 10 years. They even said 20 years. So that's encouraging.
I think something's got to be done, really, because it just depends. How much damage do you think was done by Moeweg's actions around this particular area? Do you think it was like on a scale of 0 to 10, how much damage do you think his actions did to himself? And I think it really kind of opened people's eyes a bit, didn't it, Devin?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say the actual damage, but as far as like how public it was and how it divided the community, and it seems to calm down a bit recently, but I would give it a high score on that 1 through 10 metric. I've been on X/Twitter quite a lot and follow a lot of influencers and seen some public spats, but this was quite up there in them. So I think it's going to be felt for years to come, and this trial's not going to even get over until probably 2027, maybe even 2028. So if this keeps dragging on, everything will. So I think it's a shame, really.
So what do you reckon, Kurt?
I come at this from a contrarian perspective, as normal, I think. Every time something splits, or every time something, fractures in a way that the decentralized notion, and I'll drive to membership sites for that. Like, that's our specialty, membership sites. Like, everybody used to be on MySpace and Facebook and Twitter, right? And then all these other, everyone said, oh, I got to have my own social thing, my own community, my own this. And I think about the end user. I think about way further down the line. I think about new people coming into the space as new agencies or new freelancers. And it creates a little bit of confusion, right? Like, wait a minute, I'm confused. Am I going to Git? Am I going to the repository? Am I going to go to this FAIR thing? Like, it's just creates a, so I think time will tell how smooth it can go. But I worry about the people, like someone just mentioned, it's the community, right? I see the influencers on X. That's a very small microcosm of WordPress as a whole. If we think about WordPress as a whole, how is this affecting the people, you know, 3-4 tiers removed that aren't following influencers or don't really understand what's going on? I think there's, to your point, Jonathan, there's damage done to this environment. And I think it's really going to show up over the next half year to a year over how people adjust and acclimate themselves to different changes.
Well, I think you got a good point there. I think it's the professional plug-in house developer. Do they really want their whole living, their whole business model to be controlled by one person's attitude? It's not a great place to be in. All right, sorry, Spencer, what, want to add some more?
Well, I just want to add on, I think, what Heather touched on as well. You know, the press conf is not the same business model as WordCamp, not really designed. But I want to say that Raquel's efforts there, and I was unfortunately not able to make it this year because of my other commitments in my back, but I'm going to definitely make that my priority. When you look at like WordCamp, and this year, some knucklehead decided that we're going to have WordCamp in Portland again for the second year, USA. And you ask around, who's in charge of WordCamp? And somebody says it's automatic. Then somebody says it's not automatic. And somebody says it's this person, but it's not. The gaming of that whole organization, which, by the way, the last two that I went to were fantastic. I got to drink with Devin and I saw everybody but Heather. But the point is, it's such a great event.
I never get invited.
You can come with me. The point is, if PressConf is representative of the kind of energy that we really had before this Mullenweg unwinding, then I think this is, along with FAIR, a representation of how we can basically solve our own problems. Bye, Matt. Bye, Otto. Do your thing. Keep gaming away, because the rest of us have made our livelihoods and our interests here, and we get along perfectly well with each other when you're not in there poking around for no good reason. It's just,
yeah, well, see where you come from. I don't really want to fall out with Matt or Automatic or even Otto, really. I'm not looking.
Who cares anymore, though? I mean, how does it affect you or any of us? Because he's gone so far downfield.
Yeah. I think him and Automatic having an active role is important, actually.
But we're doing by organizing other things. Because when you have a bumblebee at the picnic, you just go like, hey, let's keep going with the picnic. And the bee keeps going buzz, 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 buzz.
Yeah, you're
been
totally
100 times to settle down.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not totally disagreeing with you.
I know.
All right. Let's move on. I've got these out of order on my list. So let's go, which I've put number three. It should be number two. A zero-click world. Traffic is a terrible goal. And this is from Spark Turo from Friskin. What did you think of this one, Heather? What did you get from this?
Oh, absolutely. So now that so the world is starting to change in how people consume content. It's starting to be that like the bots are going, they're consuming content for people, and then people are just reading the summaries of content. So for example, like you write like this blog that has the article that we're reading, most people are never going to hit that blog. What they're going to do instead is they're going to search for content, or they're going to see like a TikTok video that has a summary of this, or they're going to see like or they're going to be talking with ChatGPT and they're going to be doing research on something, and then it's going to pull the content of that blog, but they're never actually going to hit the video or the original post. So your traditional traffic metric is totally skewed. And before, if you used to filter out like bot traffic to your site as a non-entity, but now you actually have to count that. Now you actually have to count all the bots hitting your site. So like within the past year or so, we actually have a separate thing when we're reporting to our clients of like, here's all the bot calls from Perplexity, from Google AI, from OpenAI, all that to show people like, no, actually people are referencing your data. Here's like the Perplexity sources that have been calling yourself. So, I mean, it's a completely different world now.
Yeah, I think you make some good points there. I think your points were excellent. I think a lot of what you read online is apt around this subject in some ways really annoys me, because the basic fact is that these bots, they're getting their recommendation by reading traditional blogs and traditional content and videos. So you've still got to do traditional SEO in some ways to actually register to show up in these AI bots. So But what you outlined in the traditional metrics is dying. I wasn't that keen on that metrics anyway. What do you reckon, Mark?
I agree with everything that the guy says. A perfect example is my brother and his wife. They run a very large flower farm up in Washington.
That sounds lovely, delicious.
It's a ridiculous amount of work. It is insane how much they have to work. But they've been featured in Martha Stewart. They've been,
What did you ask for?
When you're a flower farm, if you're a tech company featured in Martha Stewart, I'm not sure it does any good. Most of their traffic, I talked to my brother very regularly and he says, like, our stuff is in Instagram. This is where we get our business. And this is, they'll put up an Instagram video and they'll have 2,000 likes in like 5 minutes. It's crazy. And yet, I'll talk to them about their website and they go, yeah, we get some traffic there. They don't even pay attention to their website traffic, but they recognize the importance of having it, but it's not a metric that they pay attention to.
I totally understand. I wouldn't personally want to rely totally on Instagram and the beloved leader of that either, but you got to do what you got to do. So what do you reckon, Kurt?
Well, it's coincidentally, I just had one of my startup clients launch their membership learning website using Lifter LMS. It's one of the prettiest sites I've ever made. It's beautiful because their content is amazing. But they just paid a company an exorbitant amount of money and that they did not have, right? They paid more in SEO marketing and fancy promises than they paid me to build the website.
Right? That was not a great idea, in my opinion.
No. So now here we are 3 months down the road, right? The friends and family quotient begins to wear out because, if you're in the membership and learning environment, you understand the new broom always sweeps clean, right? It means you're going to have friends and family that support you and sign up for your thing. But after 2 or 3 months, what did you put in place that drove traffic? And you're going to hear things like top of funnel and you're going to hear all these phrases, but it's conversion. Revenue at the end of the day is what's going to drive the success or failure of this project. And when this client went to this provider and said, hey, I've given you all this money and I only have one order that I can track to all this money that was spent. What happened? They broke out the reports and said, look at all these impressions, look at all this traffic, look at all this stuff. Okay, but if you sent people that have no interest whatsoever in this topic, there's no conversion, there's nothing to go from. And when I coached her on specific questions to ask, those answers weren't forthcoming. Like the only thing this marketing company did was drive impressions and bots to their website, but not conversion-oriented traffic. Which, if we've done any research in pay-per-click Google, Facebook advertising or whatever, we know that we can filter down and find people that are applicable to our cause. I don't think that was done. So when I read this article, it was an echo chamber for me. It was everything that I believed.
So, Devin, I would imagine in the headquarters of Stellar WP, there's a lot of conversation going on about all this on a daily basis. Would I be correct about this? And
yeah.
What's your views about all this,
Devin? There sure is. I participate in marketing and not running marketing at all, but I know there is a lot of conversations. I've been involved in quite a few of them. I think that it depends on your business. And I agree, this traffic metric has lost some of its luster as it used to. But I'm a part owner in a restaurant here in San Diego, and we primarily drive traffic through Instagram.
Did you have your wedding reception there?
No, I didn't. But the chef I'm partners with was the officiant. So there's that. Yeah.
The wedding did look fun, actually, Devin. It did look fun.
It was amazing.
It seemed like you were... It looked like you and the bride was having a good time.
That's the main goal of that, for her to have a good time for both of us. So it was awesome. But yeah, so Google business, right? People Googling rosemaries and that coming up when they're in the area, them finding directions, like those metrics we're looking a lot at. Instagram we're looking a lot at. We don't even look at Google Analytics for the website too often at all. It's probably third or fourth in line. But for our software, where the storefront is our website, where the only place they can purchase is through our website, we are still looking at some of those traffic metrics a little bit closer because, you know, when you filter out the bots, you filter out the unnecessary pages and you view that funnel where people are actually buying, I think that data is still valuable on it. And he's not saying totally throw it out. He's saying it needs to be a combination of it all. So I like this article. He writes it in a way that's very casual speaking. I'm not sure if he did that in a way that's like better for search engines to realize it's not AI written. But anyways, I thought it was a good article.
Thanks. So Spencer, what did you think of this piece?
I just want to make sure because there's a couple stories. This is the zero click story, right?
Yes. Yes, okay. I did say that.
So sorry about that. I refer to a conversation we had when Rand was on the show years ago, and we were talking at the time about Google AMP, and I made a statement to his face, and he was still doing his old stuff, and I said, this whole thing is nonsense. They're just gaming all of us because this is the umpteenth time they've tried to make us, you know, do a backflip. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me like cross-eyed, like I just spoke gibberish to him. But now he's done a really great job of coming back from wherever he was at.
He's pivoted, hasn't he?
He's pivoted. Yeah, I was going to say he's undrank the Kool-Aid that he was drinking for all those years because now he's realized what I've said publicly to you guys and in my own world is if you go to Google right now or if you go to better YouTube and you make a 30-second video, much like talking about the TikTok, I make a 30-second video about a particular thing. It doesn't matter what it is. I put two keywords in it. For me, I do plugins in my stack. That video shows up on front page of Google, at least for the next day, and on the front page of the YouTube search for those keywords, which to me is remarkable because if you ask a client what they're supposed to do for SEO, they're still in this old world drinking the Kool-Aid, my SEO advisor, and I got the keywords and I'm doing this. And I'm like, or you just say, F all of this. Make some cool content directly or with AI, put the keywords in, put it up. All of a sudden, you're going to have 50 new people watching the video. Now, here's the key. At the top of the description, put the link to the sales page that's directly related to what's in the video so that the human being who clicks it feels like they're oriented to exactly what was talked about in the video instead of this disjointed send them to some rando thing. If you just do that, the whole thing unfolds in front of you like a magic trick. And that's the world we're living in because with AI content, I've been doing this last couple of days, blowing my mind, using Flow with client projects that I've built to create the output of LLM text directly into Flow to make live videos that are better than anything I could have ever made or anyone could have. And it's going to be everybody doing that soon. Everybody's just going to have AI dynamically generated content, very much like, you know, the dentist with the gorilla ads that have gotten a lot of traction lately, the gorilla's missing two front teeth and he's doing all this running around talking about going to this dentist who can replace your two front teeth in an hour. It's kind of like the Dollar Shave.
That's what he says about me, actually, with all the fur that I've got.
But I'm saying like the Dollar Shave.
He calls me Mr. Gorilla. He calls me Mr. Gorilla, actually.
So anyway.
There we are. Yes, there we are.
Graphics are terrible goal. Agreed.
Yes. That's what he calls me, Mr. Gorilla. I think we should go for another story. Or it looks like half. I think we need to go for our break, actually. We've had a good first half. We've got some great other stories for the second half. The panel seems awake. They seem with it. Mark, I thought Mark was dozing off, but no, I think he's still with us there. Definitely.
I'm here.
Yeah, you're here, definitely. It's been a great first half. We're going to go for our break. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
I'm coming back, folks. Also want to point out, if you want to support the show, why don't you think about subscribing to the WP Tonic YouTube channel? There's loads of content on there. There's extra bonus content when we're doing our normal interviews that you won't be able to hear in the podcast. And it supports the show. We're up to almost over 12,000 subscribers. It's growing fast. Over 1,700 videos on there. So please go over to the WP Tonic YouTube channel, subscribe, and that will support WP Tonic and the podcast. And the sponsors love it as well, folks. So they always go on about that as well. So on we go on our merry way. Got all these out of order, but keeps the panel on their toes, doesn't it? Can AI help WordPress freelancers make more money? That comes from WPMinute.com, from one of the writers on there. Let's start with Kirk. Kirk, what did you think of this particular piece? I thought it probably would gel with you, actually.
I am, I just said today on one of my other things, you could take snips or clips of my live content and you could put it together to make an entire feature film about how much I dislike the use of AI in certain places. But I'm also a hypocrite because I use it all the time. Can a freelancer use AI to make more money? Absolutely. Yeah. I literally just exposed that with another agency. I said, I use this tool and I actually do it right in front of clients. And it's a productized service that I offer. It's a startup product. And I go, here we go. And it generates basically a startup site, but it's like customized to that client. And so there you go. Here's your startup website. Liggity split. You're going to pay me for hosting every month. Have a nice day, right? And a 90-minute meeting turns into a working website that's hosted, that's maintained, and the customer has a good head start. For a startup freelancer, is that a productized service that they can offer and make money with? Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think there's loads of ways that AI, but there's also the dark side, isn't it, Kurt? There's these YouTube influencers and other influencers on TikTok that are telling you can build an agency that makes $10,000 to $100,000 a month and you can do it in less than 3 months, and you give us gobs of money and we got this course and we got this a mastermind that you join for like $5,000 a month, and we will show you how to make $10,000 to $100,000 a month. And it's all over the internet, isn't it?
I was just pushed an ad this week that said if I wasn't making $50,000 a month, I didn't even have a business.
Yeah.
And I thought about how many people make $50,000 a month.
Yeah.
Why aren't you both?
I don't know. I got to come visit you in Chicago and learn the real secrets.
Yeah, the real spice. So what do you reckon, Devin? What did you reckon about this particular article?
Yeah, it's a good article. I think that it's true. You know, there's a lot of ways to make more money. You have to separate yourself from what you were doing to what you can do and potential new services. You know, if it's a client that might not be very technical, but you can help automate some things and show some real value within their business aside from the website, then you can really get your foot in some other doors. And there's a lot of snake oil salesmen out there with those videos you're talking about, but there's some granular truth behind.
Well, there always is, isn't there? There always has to be some granulation of truth,
right?
In the drift pitch, hasn't there?
Mm-hmm. whether you're, you know, you continue the services based route or you're going to vibe code the next great plugin or whatever, like you should be using AI. And it, and if you use it better than most people, which most aren't using it very well, then you're going to be rising to the top.
So Heather, what do you reckon about this? Because I'm having your husband on the show for an interview in the coming weeks. And I've been doing a ton of research, as Kirk will testify. I know no industry, no sector of science, no industry where there are influence and either people that are senior in labs and in the actual industry. I know no area where there is more bullshit, more diversion of the basic facts, the basic situation. I've never come across anything like it myself. What's your views of this article and my statement, really?
So AI is definitely a, it's a difficult, tricky topic. When the internet was new, people...
I suppose that was similar, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think there was a load of bullshit spoken there, really, would it?
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about it. It was like the new apocalypse, but we had like the word internet superhighway, like the web, all that was in everyone's vernacular, like trying to get people used to it. And now we don't even like bat an eye when somebody uses Wikipedia for something or Google for something or whatever. Like it's not like the internet isn't even credited. Computers aren't even credited when like they're used as part of something. Like we use them in every day, but like you don't say like, thank you, Microsoft, for helping me like create this spreadsheet. You know, I mean, it's just part of our everyday work. And I mean, I think it's only because AI is so new into everyone's life right now that it's such a big deal. But like fast forward 30 years and it's not gonna be a thing.
Yeah, I think the kind of propaganda, I think some are lying for commercial reasons. I think others really, it's a vision, it's a way of technology wishingness, of wanting the brave new world, you know, element of religious zeal about it almost. I get a taste of that. What do you reckon, Mark?
Heather actually took my talking point, which is I remember when the internet came out and it was the same thing. It's like, can the internet help your business? Can the internet, you know, and my whole, I actually was building up an internet service provider in the late 90s. And my whole pitch to people was, this is going to level the playing field between the big businesses and the small businesses. But it always boils down to the same thing, which is you have to learn how to use it. You have to learn how to leverage it. And we're in kind of this wild west right now with AI, trying to figure out where it's beneficial and where it's not. But it's here. It's here to stay. It's going to evolve. It's going to get better. It's going to do all these things. And those of us who just kind of think that it's a passing fad or something and don't know how to leverage it to make us more money, I think are going to be the losers. I think you have to take it seriously and you have to figure out today in its current iteration how it is. You have to figure out how you can utilize it in order to make more money. And then beyond that, you have to be willing to reinvent and adapt. If you're not, then you're going to get left behind.
Right, Mr. Vice Coding. Spencer Forum, I'm sure you've been thinking about this because you're very enthusiastic about AI and you've been teaching a fair bit of it in the WordPress space. But where are your boundaries? Where are the claims? You know, obviously you want to build a business. Where is the bridge too far for you? Where are the statements in your own opinion a bit ridiculous, or how far are you prepared to push it?
like in the movie The Graduate. I have just one word for you, Benjamin. Plastics. Future's plastics.
I wish I'd gone into plastics, actually.
There's a great future. No, there's just two words here. Prompt engineering. So here's the dealio. The AI future, this is my serious answer. The dealio for everybody here listening, it doesn't matter what aspect you're going to go into, is that you're just simply going to have to go from a world where your job was, I have access to specialized interface tools, or I know how to move the knobs and levers and switch the dials and stuff, into a world where you need to take the thoughts in that thing on top of your body and your experience and your perspective and relate that to your human customers and learn how to prompt engineer what to say to the various AI LLMs that you work with. That's it. Watch any science fiction movie. Watch what's happening now. I right now have my agentic team working while we're on this show. You need to simply know what to say to them and how to say to them instead of being an expert at which...
You've drunk the cooler. You're in it deep, aren't you?
Well, I'm just saying.
You've been totally honest, actually. It's nothing...
I'm telling you because I have the proof in the pudding. Yeah. I have been able to output a work product equivalent to 2 to 3 years of spends historically of the typing, whatever, because what I found about these tools is what's so remarkable about them, they can do everything I could do better. I just have to learn which tools to connect in my system and then learn what to say to them and how to say it. And once you have that awakening, it's the same as a human being. I'm very fortunate. I'm very fortunate in my agent's place to be in the dating environment. I have a very lovely girlfriend. I had to learn how to speak the language of a single mom to find the right person to match with me as a single dad. Hold on. Stop. Just stop and listen and just absorb this. You have to, as a guy, I'm like a dog. There's only three things that motivate me. You can figure out what those three things are. Women have a different thing. Prompt engineering in a human relationship is very similar to prompt engineering in the ChatGPT. You have to understand what the thing is you want to achieve, what the relationship is. And when you speak to these LLMs, you have to understand what your clients want, what the goals are, what the build out is. It's a skill that anybody in WordPress who may be an expert at whatever tools we used to have could move into. And right now it is the gold rush. Being a prompt engineer is what everybody who's a WordPress implementer could be. And I want to say one other thing, because, you know, Devin works very highly with this great set of tools that I use in my stack. Bypassing many of those interface tools that in my favorite thing like Cadence or in, you know, LearnDash or whatever, bypassing the interface of old in favor of the AIs doing the outcomes, but using the tools, that is, my friends, the future. In fact, the interface that I built is just essentially talking to your LLM and saying, I want you to basically do a LearnDash course, 3 lessons, make a product in WordPress, do the launch flow sales funnel connected to Fluent CRM that sends out this number, blah, blah, blah. Do it and make 3 things this week. That's the future of WordPress. Not cucking around trying to carve a firewood.
I'm so tempted to pursue the dating.
Devin, you have my number.
And how you use AI for your dating experience. But I don't think it's appropriate to go there, actually. So let's move on, shall we? Let's go to the AI actors and deep fakes aren't coming to YouTube ads. They're already there. So, Heather, what did you think of this one? Because I think YouTube's a classic, actually, about my own feelings towards certain AI. Obviously, I think I can still pick out, but obviously I have a sense that it's probably been created by AI and there's a little bit of resentment, but then there's more curiosity. I thought this was all... my reaction to it, Heather, is all a bit back to front. It surprises me. Because when the AI is utilised in the more creative videos, I love it, but it's more, which surprises me. But I don't know my particular feelings are unusual. What do you reckon, Heather?
Like AI videos are getting so much better. Like I was just at my my husband's grandfather's 99th birthday, and we showed him this excellent video that the New York Times did recently, showing how Veo 3 and other AI video generation platforms have been able to create like what you would call a deepfake, but like AI generated videos with, I mean, very skilled directors and creative teams, truly make a realistic looking video, like a movie almost, like, and he watched this 10-minute video, this 10-minute little movie short, and he watched it again, and then he watched it again, this 99-year-old man, and then he walked away saying, I'm glad that I'm not going to be alive much longer.
Oh,
this man that's lived through the Great Depression, polio, like multiple wars, he's just like, I'm out.
Love edit.
Maybe that's good. If older people could basically check themselves out, they'd make some space at the top instead of staying in Congress all this time and stuff. Because honestly, that is not an uncommon feeling. I deal with that with my father, because when you reach a certain point where everything new is done and the new stuff's coming along, it's the cranky guy, get off my lawn, kids. And it's just ridiculous because we Gen Xers are bridging it. One foot in the old world, one foot in the new. And we've had to deal with both sides of this. And honestly, I can't wait for the day that the boomers are out of the way and we're just basically allowed to let the kids come up with these new ideas and get done with it already.
Yeah, this is the future. I think it's, well, Kirk, I think in the next 3 to 5 years or sooner, I think the idea of just writing a book will still be there, but you will have author, filmmaker, the two genres will be combined. You will have a film of the book published instantaneously that, you know, the problem with filmmaking is it, at the present stage, it's enormously expensive, and having all these different people is very time consuming and it's its own problems. But people will be able to produce a video stroke film of their novel themselves, basically. I can see that happening. What do you reckon, Kurt?
I don't think you're far off on projecting that as a future, but then I go again, contrarian, I suppose, but there's, now we've created this area where you're either a creator or a consumer of these fake products. And I, for one, am getting tired of, is this real? Is this fake? Like everything I see, I got to research. Is that really happened? Did that really happen? Is that real? Is that a real person? And I think the interaction, one-on-one relationship, person to person. I know I've seen Spence talk about this a lot on his Friday Lives that he does. Technology is wonderful. Knowledge of technology is wonderful. But I think the real value is going to be in the person-to-person contact and relationships we can build and maintain. And I think the more that we play with bad actors and YouTube, bad B-roll, fake advertising, I think the more we're going to drive people towards their quest for reality.
Yeah, I think you're on that. So, Devin, I think Kirk's really spot on. I think blockchain has a part of this, because using blockchain technology, you'd be able to say, this is a unique piece of content. Mm. And through the blockchain, you will be able to know that this is unique, real content that hasn't been AI'd, as I say. But on the other hand, I think it's the amount of effort, because like I say, I think for an author to be able, some authors would be very resistant because they say this, it removes like the person reading the book and visualizing their own vision, their own internal video, and I'm disrupting it. But I think a lot of people that grow up in this new world, they won't have that feeling. It will be a creative release that they will be able to make a film of their novel instantaneously or with a lot of effort, but they will be able to do it. So what do you reckon, Devin?
Well, speaking from my generation, I guess I'm not sure about the younger generation, but if you spend like, I don't know how long it takes to write a novel. I've never written one. I've read more than enough, but it must take a long time. I think if I spent that amount of time, I would not want it cheapened by an AI in 30 minutes to create a video, right? That's me personally, but...
No, I'm talking about months of, re-editing, refining. Yeah. But I do think that the new novel producer will be expected not only to be a writer, but also produce video, audio versions of it.
Yeah. Well, look, I think we're already starting to see some authentication guarantees of original content, whether it be images or video. And I think that's going to come more to YouTube. We're seeing that on some social networks. It's definitely sketchy, like at the bottom of that article where they are using celebrities as deepfakes. And that I think has to stop. It gets into an area where it's debatable, where it's just a made up stranger, because probably somebody out there looks just like that person. I don't love it. If I were selling cheap flashlights that are imported and I just wanted to make a quick buck, and I didn't really care about my brand, I'd probably use that method to sell. But if I really was trying to build a lasting brand that people thought was authentic and trusted and believed in, I wouldn't be going that route.
So, Mark, isn't this all the whole issue about copyright, as Devin's put up with celebrities? Isn't this the people behind AI? They come from the tech world, and the start of the internet has always been loosey-goosey about copyright, about IP. And it's like AI is on steroids. They are very loosey-goosey, they're all about protecting their own IP. But when it comes to other people's IP, they really don't want to know, do they, Mark?
No, I think it's kind of one of those F around and find out kind of things where it's like, let's see what happens if we do this. And I mean, yeah, I've seen those deep fakes are getting to be pretty bad. And I've just kind of taken this attitude of it's all fake. I'd rather go that direction than spend all the time trying to vet something out. And of course, copyright, what's going to happen with these movies? Are they going to say starring the likeness of, is it going to be,
that particular area, Mark, I'm not so concerned, because if you've got a theater actor and the author wants to use him or her in their AI video, that's fair. They've got to get permission and they've got to share some of the royalties to that real character.
Are we going to get to this point where there aren't actual real human beings in these movies? It's just some made up.
Well, I think it's going to be a mixture, isn't it, Mark?
I actually don't know. I mean, I remember this is not a new concept. There was a movie that came out with Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the 80s or 90s called The Running Man, where, if you remember that, one of the gladiator guys got killed by Arnold Schwarzenegger and they AI'd a fake that he was still alive. So this is nothing new. It's just getting better and better and harder to disseminate or discern which is which. And I saw a Willie Nelson ad for ED, and it's like, and I'm looking, I'm like, have I reached that age that I'm getting these ads now? And do I really care?
but then you've also got people like, Bruce Willis and Val Kilmer and other people who
right.
licensed their rights, but only to the their own trust. So like their producers, their team are able to use their own likeness with their own rights to create new new things. So I mean, like, there's ethical ways to do it.
Well, I mean, Lucasfilm did it with, I mean, if you watch The Mandalorian and stuff like that, they did it, but they flat out said, you know, we did this. So it's really the deception that, you know, and the bad actors that we're talking about. And there will always be bad actors. It's just, this is at a scale that we're not used to.
So Spencer, do you agree? I see a kind of collision, combination of blockchain, AI, and intellectual property colliding, and in the next few years a new metrics, a new paradigm being formatted with these technologies and intellectual property. So it's all up in the air, but how do you view, because I definitely see an area around blockchain saying, proving that this is real, this hasn't been manipulated.
There was a case that I read about this morning regarding the use of Library Genesis, which I personally love, to train OpenAI and other things on the content of books. And the court had a controversial but interesting decision. It said it was okay for the AI to train on those books, but because of that, they owed money to the original book author. So in other words, if I'm not saying this incorrectly, they said that you can't just randomly take proprietary works and use them and repurpose them without paying. But what they said was it is okay for the AI to generate derivative stuff from that. So in other words, where I see this going is there's going to be some cases when it comes to like the likenesses of human beings, the likenesses of movies, Disney characters, written books, where the system that we have in place is going to force people to identify what was the source of their training, pay the original creators, but then do whatever the F they want with it. And I think that's the world that probably makes some sense, because even when you look at historical stuff, I went to the Disney Museum in San Francisco, and it's really wonderful there. But you can see the legal troubles Disney had in the 20s and the 30s with like Steamboat Willie and all this stuff. And Disney managed to extend the copyright or the trademarks, I think it was the copyright, on that character, it, like ad nauseum. I mean, into the 2000s, I think. And the way they got away with it was just basically from force of will and having people in Congress that they were, you know, payrolling. I think that that's bad for what the system or these systems have as a potential. In other words, AI should be able to make derivative stuff, but we need to at least fairly acknowledge the source of their inspiration in some reasonable way. One last comment is when it comes to the blockchain shenanigans and like what the, let's say like the Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus people have been doing, it sort of all comes together. I think the problem we have today is that the consumers are willing to put up with a certain amount of bullshit in the pricing, where like in the early days, we did Napster because Sean Fanning figured out we all think it's bullshit that we have to buy a $14, laughing at that, album and then make copies on a laughing tape. So he figured out how to get around that. And it was only after their backs were broken that they gave in. Well, similarly, before COVID, we all said, F this, we don't want to pay for a $150 cable bill. We'll pay you $10 Netflix for family use of whatever you put up there. Well, they got our money, they took our goodwill, and then they got greedy motherfuckers, and they just decided now it's, you're going to pay me the $20 a month, and I'm going to put ads on this, and you can't share it with your mother. And now the cost of all my streaming channels is more than a cable would have been. So I think the issue is if the greedy corporations do not abuse the relationship with people, we're not forced to go to alternatives. But in the world where alternatives are a click away, this is kind of echoes the Mullenweg situation. Like when you have a product that cannot be reasonably contained, you need the relationship with a human being, Kurt, the customer, to say, I would rather pay you the money for the services than to cheat you. But when you start screwing me over, I'm going to go around you. That's it. And the AI stuff, the deepfake, I mean, to be fair, nobody's going to be able to tell the difference. I don't think that's going to matter. I think what we need is for people to have a rule that says, when you make content, you're going to have to certify, kind of like the adult film industry does,
You have to certify that the people in it are either AI generated from this source or they're real people. That would seem to be some kind of a reasonable way of doing it. You know.
Yep. I'm going to wrap it up. Hopefully some of... can you stay on a little bit longer, Devin, or do you have to disappear on the hour?
Yeah, I've got some more time.
I like to. I think Heather has to go on the hour. I'm not sure. So I'm going to wrap up the podcast part of the show. We're going to continue, though, and with a couple of other stories I like to discuss. And you'll be able to see the podcast and the bonus content on the WP YouTube channel. So go over there and subscribe. So, Heather, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Heather?
You can find my company at thedifferenceatc.com, and you can find me online at Heatheriel. That's everywhere. So.
And you definitely haven't been cloned. You are unique, aren't you, Heather?
100%.
Yeah, you're unique. Devin, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Yeah, sure. Check me out at Devin, DVIN.org, or on X at Innerwebs, INNER Webs.
And Devin hasn't been copied either. He's pretty unique as well. Mark, what's the best way for people to find out more about you, Mark?
You can find me at MainWP very regularly. I'm on LinkedIn, Mark Benzikane, unique name. I guarantee you I have not been copied and no one would ever want to. So LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, I'm at Mark Benzak, and Blue Sky, same, Instagram, you name it.
Everywhere, basically.
Everywhere, and you can find me physically somewhere in Northern California.
There we go. Definitely not cloned. Off to Spencer Forum. That is a total clone. That has been cloned completely. So Spencer. He wants to be virtualized.
Someday I'm going to direct my deepfake to come here and argue with you. While I'm on a beach.
Yeah.
You can find me on WPLaunchify.com or Socialist Spencer Foreman. No E for saving.
Right. Thank you so much for listening or watching this. Like I say, if you want to watch the bonus content, you can go over to the WP Tonic YouTube channel. Another great way of supporting the show is to go over to Spotify and iTunes and leave a review on the podcast. It's a great way for new people to find the show. The numbers listening have been growing recently, so it's great. But if you could show that support by leaving a review, that's another great way of supporting the show. We will be back next week with an interview with a great WordPress professional or a SaaS professional. We will be back next week. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.